passing on the mantle. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. He decreed the statutes of Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. Psalm 78, 5 through 7. If the truth be told, disciplehood as a way of life is never more than one generation away from extinction. That's a disturbing notion. So far in this book, we've been thinking about being a disciple from the adult perspective. All too often, we overlook the fact that in a very real sense, parents have the opportunity to disciple their children in Christ. When we think of passing on the mantle, we may visualize a garment or piece of jewelry or something else we literally pass on to our heirs, something tangible. Or the old adage of filling our parents' shoes may come to mind. When we speak in spiritual terms, however, passing on the mantle means something a little different. It means we train and nurture our children in the Lord. Training a child in the spiritual sense means we are positive role models. We provide them with attainable goals and guidelines, and most of all, we go the distance. In other words, we see the project through to completion. We can't do any of this, though, if first and foremost we lack a personal experience of spiritual growth. Along with that, we must put into practice a drastic reduction in our self-focused behavior. From the time a child is born, one way or another, as parents, we are engaged in the process of passing it on. Probably the majority of us don't formulate a concept of spiritual heritage for our children immediately after they are born. We may be too overwhelmed with the myriad practical details that go along with adding a child to our lives. But if we hope to pass on a spiritual mantle to our children, we must put effort into it. We need to think carefully what we hope to communicate spiritually to our children and how we want to do it. Here are my recommendations. As Christian mothers or fathers, we must establish a family habit of prayer, a time when we thank the Lord together for His goodness and mercy. We also need to establish a Bible reading time, and possibly a time for singing together as well. Beginning at their birth, we parents need to pray over our children, petitioning the Lord for their health, their spiritual growth, and their future. As children begin to walk and talk, mealtimes are good opportunities to thank the Lord for what He has provided. As children grow still older, they should be encouraged to join in family prayer, a special time of prayer for family needs. A young man I know has these memories of family devotions. I remember very vividly when I was a young boy, starting as early as the age of 6 and well into my teen years, the Bible study time at our house. Every night, my brother, myself, and my mom and dad would take time after dinner as a family. We took only about a half an hour, usually. It wasn't very long and drawn out. I guess it seemed longer when I was a kid. But the neatest thing I remember is that we read Scripture together. We read a Bible passage and even had a book called Little Visits with God that sort of kept my brother and me entertained when we were real young. We worked on scripture memorization, which I remember finding enjoyable and challenging. I recall one of the verses particularly, the one about the wise and foolish builders, found in Matthew. It talks about the man who built his house upon the rock, and also the man who built his house upon the sand. I can honestly say I took that to heart as I grew older. I always remembered those verses. In hard times, the verses I learned during our family Bible study stayed embedded in my heart. There is no single right way to do family devotions. What works for one family may not work for another, and vice versa. One family I know takes time each week to share God's surprises in their lives. This encourages children to develop the habit of thanking God for all His many and varied blessings. Another family has a brief time of prayer each morning before family members all head off in their various directions. Whatever works for your family's personalities and schedules, the important thing is that you make a habit of including God in your family life. I also think a parent needs to pray a daily bedtime prayer over each child from the time he or she is born until adolescence. At that point, by mutual consent, you may want to cease this activity. But if the child requests that the bedtime prayer continue after that point, what a wonderful bonus. Either way, I encourage parents to continue in fervent prayer for their children and assure sons and daughters verbally that parental love, support, and prayer will continue for the rest of their lives. At that same time, while older children may not feel comfortable praying out loud, we can encourage them to develop their own individual prayer time. As this next testimony indicates, perhaps the best way to do this is to make sure our children are aware that we pray. My dad instilled the value of prayer in me by doing it himself. I would watch him pray as we would join in the Bible study, and this proved to be a big part of the discipleship process for me. A few times when I was in college and was struggling, he would always let me know he was praying for me. He would always remind me that there's a spiritual side to life. Whether I wanted to hear it at the time or not, I understood that through the power of prayer, God would and could get a hold of our hearts, get a hold of my heart, and change my attitude. We still carry on our habit of prayer today when I visit with him and we go hunting or fishing. When we spend time in the car, we use the downtime we have together praying and talking about what's going on in our lives. Passing on the blessing. In the Bible's first book, Genesis, three chapters, 27, 48, and 49, tell of parents giving and children receiving the blessing. These passages describe how Isaac blessed Jacob and then how Israel, Jacob, blessed his sons, who represented the 12 historic tribes. Genesis 27, 25 through 29 describes the blessing this way. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat, so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate. And he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you, and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." One interesting note about this passage is that Jacob received the blessing that was intended to go to his brother Esau. In Old Testament times, apparently, once the blessing was given, it was irrevocable. Esau, like many in our modern day who are floundering around in search of something, an identity, was sent into quite a tailspin as a result of missing out on this blessing from his father. In their book titled The Blessing, authors Gary Smalley and John Trent share how to give a son or daughter a personal blessing. The five components of the biblical blessing, derived from the Genesis 27 passage, according to Smalley and Trent, are 1. Meaningful touch, 2. A spoken message, 3. Attaching high value to the individual, 4. Picturing a special future for the child, and 5. An active commitment to that young person. As Christian parents, I recommend we release our sons and daughters into manhood and womanhood by giving them the blessing, whether we do this as a private moment between individuals or as a formal ceremony. Many Christian men and women have never received this blessing, and consequently they may not feel any conscious awareness of their passage into spiritual adulthood. Those who never experience this release will not know it as a model to pass on to their own children. So those of us who are familiar with this concept need to actively model it for the rest of Christ's body. Yet another way we can help each other walk as daily disciples. A daughter named Rachel shares this experience of being blessed by her mother. "I'm a young woman now. I'm not a little kid anymore. And last year my mom did this really neat thing that helped me feel more excited about growing up. It wasn't a big deal because I had told her I'd be embarrassed if there were other people there. So just she and I went to our church one evening when no one else was there. We went up to the front and my mom put her hands on my shoulders and prayed for me. She thanked God for creating me, and she asked God to go with me as I walked out into womanhood. She went on to thank God for all the special gifts he had given me, and she asked him to show me how to use those gifts now that I was no longer a child. And then she and I talked a long time. She told me all the things she liked about me, all the ways she had seen God using me, and we talked about the future and some of my dreams. And then she told me how much she loved me and promised that she would always be there for me, even when I move out on my own. We both cried a little. Since then, I haven't felt as confused about who I am as I used to. I feel closer to God, too. I've started thinking about a lot of things, and I keep taking them to God, asking for His wisdom. I know He's leading me into the life He wants for me. It's really exciting. Since our culture has no tradition that provides us with a formula for blessing our children, we need to develop our own. Again, what works for one family may not work for everyone else. We may want a private ceremony, as Rachel and her mother did, or our blessing may simply be an understanding between our children and us. But either way, our children need to be clear that this blessing is a real factor in their lives. Here is my advice to each of you, no matter how old you may be. If you have not received or given the biblical blessing, seek it out from your parents and give it to your children. Obviously, in some cases, parents may be deceased or otherwise not available. If that's the case, find a mentor to give you the blessing. You may be pleasantly surprised at how this can bring peace and completion to your life. If you are a pastor hearing this, you might consider including the blessing ceremony as part of your services. It can be an indispensable element of positive church body life. Finding time. If I could offer parents one other word of advice, it would be this. Make sure you schedule time, individual time, with each of your sons or daughters to do some activity they enjoy doing. This is an important part of passing on the mantle, beginning with the early formative years, ages 1 to 7. A consistent habit of enjoying each child's activity choice, ideally on a weekly basis, is critical to a parent's ability to communicate spiritually with that child. Spending time together like this conveys to the child his or her uniqueness and value. And children who know their parents value and love them can more easily understand that the Lord loves and values them even more. The Word as a Guide. The Bible reveals a great deal about passing on the legacy of Christ to the next generation. A few prime examples emerge in 2 Timothy. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. 2 Timothy 2:2. A few verses later comes this challenge. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. The younger generation of disciples can then take hold of this charge. In chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish or stupid arguments, because you know that they produce quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Jewish tradition, based on the Torah, places a strong emphasis on passing the spiritual heritage down from one generation to the next. Beginning early in the Old Testament, the instruction is firm. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. Deuteronomy 6, 6-9. From the very beginning, Yahweh has made clear how much He wants us to pass on the mantle. But we can't force this mantle onto our children. The goal should always be that the next generation absorbs Scripture rather than has it force-fed to them. When Scripture is presented in a relevant way that relates to a child's life, this can make all the difference. Children need to see what Scripture means in their parents' lives. That's why parents should never act bored or lifeless when they share Scripture. Do we adults find God's Word exciting? When we do, the Scripture that means the most to us is a great place to start as we share with our children. Also, parents shouldn't worry that children aren't old enough to understand the true depths and nuances of biblical meaning. Young people will absorb whatever they are ready to hear. As parents, let's trust the Holy Spirit to open our children's ears. After all, God has promised that His word will not return to Him empty, but will accomplish that which He desires. Isaiah 55:11. Sharing Scripture with our children is worth the investment of our time and innovation. A generation at risk. Much has been written and said about the members of the next generation. I just returned from a conference where one of the speakers stated that according to one study, approximately 80% of young men and women who grew up in the church no longer attend regular services. Not only are we apparently failing miserably at reaching those outside the body of Christ, we are failing to disciple those who are right in our midst. At the beginning of the section, we made the point that daily discipleship as a way of life is never more than one generation away from going the way of the dinosaur. The future depends on those of us in the older generation and how we choose to relate to our sons and daughters. Steve Farrar puts the challenge in these succinct terms. You cannot impart that which you do not possess. I can't expect something out of my kids that does not exist in my own heart. Character isn't something you mandate. It's something you model. And if you are spending your life chasing after external accomplishments rather than internal character, it will show. Count on it, friend. Eventually, it will show. Our road may be long and hard, but along the disciples' daily journey, the well, God, never runs dry. In Christ, we have living water. Let's make sure we pass that water along to the thirsty generations to come. Probably the best way to pass on the mantle of faith to our children is to make certain that our own faith is a living, healthy reality in our lives. Your heritage. We all have a heritage to pass along, even if we're not parents. Those of us who are childless still have opportunities to make a difference in a young person's life, as this young woman's experience demonstrates. Lydia is one of my mother's closest friends, but she's my friend too. Ever since I was little, I loved whenever she came over, because she always talked to me like I was someone she was really interested in, like I wasn't just a little kid to her. Now that I'm a teenager, I'm really glad she's my friend. There's lots of stuff in my life that I'd be uncomfortable talking over with my mother, but I can always go to Lydia with a problem. She does a lot of work for overseas missions, and she's gotten me excited about helping out with some projects. I really like the feeling that I can make a difference in the world. I know she prays for me every day, and I know I can always count on her. I want to get to know God the way she does, so that one day I can help other kids the way she's helped me. You may not think you have any opportunity to pass on your heritage of faith to the younger generation, but look around you. There may be a young person with whom you have contact who needs your love and influence.